This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, on this day, as we recall those who have gone before us, we give you thanks for the personal saints in each of our lives, those whose strength, support, and example enable us to be the people that we are today, and those same people who call us to become more, to reach beyond ourselves. And so we pray as we reflect on the words and actions of your Son today, you will enable us to have the strength and the courage to become the saints you call us all to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We begin today as we begin every Wednesday when we have Eucharist with our school children. And I say, good morning, saints. We celebrate our sainthood on this feast day of All Saints. And here at St. Joseph's, we combine the feast day of All Saints with the feast day of All Souls as well. And to help us to understand a bit what this all means, I would like you to take out the Book of Common Prayer that's in the pews. Those of you who don't know what that is, it's the red book that is in the pews. And open it to page 862. And on page 862 of that Book of Common Prayer, it's the last page of what we call the outline of our faith or the catechism. Simple question and answers that help us to understand what all this means. And I would like for you first to look on page 862. The third question from the bottom says, what is the communion of saints? And if you would read with me the answer that is underneath. The communion of saints is the whole family of God, the living and the dead, those whom we love and those whom we hurt, bound together in Christ by sacrament, prayer, and praise. Those whom we love and those whom we hurt. And if you use simple logic, you can add in, and those who hurt us. You probably never think of the saints, the communion of saints, as not only those we love, but those whom we hurt and those who hurt us. Hang on to that insight for a moment and look towards the top of the page. And the third question down says, why do we pray for the dead? And let's read the answer to that. We pray for them because we still hold them in our love and because we trust that in God's presence, those who have chosen to serve him will grow in his love until they see him as he is. Those who have chosen to serve him will continue to grow in his love. Have you ever thought that getting to heaven does not put an end to your growth? That once we are in heaven, we will continue to spiritually grow. Now, I want you to consider those two concepts of who the communion of saints is and this call to continual growth, because it has drastic implications for the decisions we make in our daily lives. It especially comes into play when we think about those whom we hurt or those who have hurt us. The call that we have is to reconciliation. The call is, in some way, that we will do whatever we can to be at peace with those situations, with those persons. I remember a very wise man, my spiritual director. I was having such difficulty with a particular person that I never wanted to see that person again. I wanted nothing to do with them. And his response to me was, "Marty, you might as well get reconciled with that person now, because if you don't, you will have all eternity to get it right." There is this call that we have to do that. We are the communion of saints, all of us. Now, I'm not about to suggest that a marriage that has died and the relationship has been over and is over for years, we're never going to be best friends with that person again. Maybe it might happen, but I doubt it. And someone who has hurt us so deeply that perhaps we've ended up in a court of law with them, we're probably not going to be best buds with them again. Or take the extreme example of someone who has shot and killed one of your family members. You're probably not going to have a great friendship with that person. But there is, in some sense, the ability in Jesus that we have to come to some healing and some reconciliation so we can all get on with our lives. And that's what these two feast days today are talking about. You know, this gospel that we read, if you've been going to church for a while, you're probably used to hearing the Beatitudes on All Saints' Day, because that's the gospel we usually have. But with this new lectionary, in this particular year, they give us the story of the raising of Lazarus. And I was trying to think, why would they give us that story for this day? But when I start putting it into context of what I just spoke about, it makes a lot of sense. This gospel comes from a section of John's gospel that is a conclusion of what's called the Book of Signs. And there are these progressive signs that Jesus has been giving by what he says and especially by what he does that tell us who he is. And it started with that first miracle, and in John's gospel, it's the wedding feast at Cana. Remember, Jesus turns the water into wine. And it moves on, and he starts healing people. And it gets to a point where they're out on the field, and they have no food, only a couple loaves of fish and some bread, and we have the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves. Twice in John's gospel does Jesus do this as a sign. And all of these signs lead up to this ultimate sign we have today. It's as if to say, if you didn't get it from all these other signs, now here is the ultimate sign. Jesus just raised somebody from the dead. There is nobody who can do that unless you are God. And so it is this ultimate sign to us of who Jesus is. And if Jesus can raise people from the dead, he certainly can bring some peace, some healing, some reconciliation to us wherever we might be in that spectrum of the communion of saints. So that's an important concept for us. So we move into talking about what it means then to be a saint. And I think it's a related concept. I would say that the saints are those who know where and how to look for God. The saints are those people who are so versed and are so trained and have such a habit for looking for God that they can find God in every person, in every situation, at all times, and in all places. It takes work. They are so attuned for looking at the small glimmer of Christ's light that actually they end up reflecting it. I brought out the Paschal candle because we had baptisms at 9:30, and I thought, how appropriate with this gospel to leave this out on this feast day, because when we are baptized, a candle is lit from this and handed to us. If you were baptized as a baby, it's handed to your parents and godparents, and the priest says, receive the light of Christ, that light is already within us. And now we are called to witness and go forth and to find that light and to spread that light wherever we can. That's pretty amazing. So, this light, looking for that light. I like to compare it to if you ever go fishing. I am not a fisherman, but the few times I have gone out, I've usually taken somebody who knows what they're doing with me. And if you ever notice a fisherman who knows what he or she is doing, some of the best fishermen I know are women, they can look out at the water and they will be able to tell you where to go to catch the fish. Because their eyes are so attuned with looking for the signs where the fish will be. Now, if you carry that over, this metaphor, into what we're talking about, it is having so much experience and so much being able to look for the signs where the glimmer of God's light might be that we can find it in all people, in all situations, at all times, in all places. This is what it means to be a saint. I have shared with many of you one of the spiritual moments, highlights of my life when I was actually able to meet face to face Mother Teresa. Now, can you think of anybody? I can't think of anybody who more went to find Christ's light in places where nobody else would expect to find it. The poorest of the poor. If you ever go to Calcutta, we were literally walking over dead bodies to get down the street. The smell was horrible. Just horrible. And here is a woman who came to be Christ to them, to see Christ in each one of those people. Fast forward back to the gospel for a second. We're talking about this reconciliation. Well, here we have these disciples, these people who are with Jesus, and Jesus wants to take care of his friend, and he says, roll away the stone, and what do the people say? He's been dead for 4 days, Jesus. It smells bad with the stone there. You move that stone and it's going to smell really bad. Well, how often in my life do I feel God calling me that, Marty, you need to take a look at this and you need to deal with it. And I say back to God, that whole relationship, this whole thing really stinks, God, and I don't want to do that. But here is the God who brings people back to life. And perhaps God wants me to go there because God wants to bring some healing to me. This is what Mother Teresa did. And you know, I am not making up a story when I tell you when I met her, she actually physically glowed. There was an aura around her. I was not the only one who saw it. Several that day were moved by that same vision. To be able so much to see the light of Christ in all people and in all things that you end up glowing with that light yourself. We have a word for that. We call it a halo. And we have pictured saints throughout the ages of having this halo around their head. It's because they have had that ability to look for God in all people, at all times, and in all places, in such a way that not only do they find Christ's light, they become that light themselves. This is our call to sainthood. May we be open to it and have the courage that we might continue to receive God's light in us. Let's take that to our prayer.